This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Here in California, one of the big fall election fights is over GMOs, genetically modified organisms. Voters are going to decide whether almost all foods with GMOs in them that are sold in California have to be labeled as such. Companies that make those foods are spending big against that ballot measure, as you might imagine. They say a GMO label would be something of a scarlet letter, or three of them, I guess, and that is quite possibly true. But it didn't always used to be that way, as Amy Standen reports now from KQED.
The year was 1994. Belinda Martineau was a scientist at a California-based biotech company called Calgene. And what she was working on, she thought, would change the world.
And we used to say, this is something we're going to tell our grandchildren about.
This was the Flavor Saver tomato, a tomato genetically engineered to solve a problem that had bedeviled farmers since the advent of the modern grocery store. How do you get a ripe tomato to the produce aisle without squishing it to a pulp? Now, usually farmers solve this by picking the tomatoes early while they're green and hard. But the Flavor Saver, it was genetically engineered to stay firm, even when it was ripe.
And that's why you could pick it while it was ripening and still get it to market without turning into a pile of goo.
This was the miracle of genetic engineering, and Calgene decided to market it that way.
We thought that if we were careful about it and transparent about it, that we could convince the public that they should be as enthusiastic about it as we were.
So when the Flavor Saver came out, Calgene labeled it to the hilt, even though they didn't have to, with a tag shaped like a tomato.
It actually explained the genetic engineering technology, and then it had a 1-800 number if people wanted to learn more.
And it worked. Flavor Savers flew off the shelves. In Davis, where Martineau lives, the local supermarket had to set a limit, 2 Flavor Savers per person per day.
How they kept track of that, I do not know.
Now, to Martineau, there is a lesson here. If the public understands the science, they will trust the science. But is that still true today? Because here in California, the current Calgenes of the world, the likes of Monsanto and DuPont, seem to see things very differently. In fact, they have spent tens of millions of dollars lobbying against the very same labels that the Flavor Saver wore as a badge of pride. And a lot of scientists feel the same way. Take, for example, Kent Bradford.
I'm a professor in plant sciences at UC Davis.
Bradford is a plant scientist, a developer of genetically modified crops. He works out at the experimental greenhouses on the edge of campus.
7-Eleven, okay. We're looking for 7-08.
Bradford sees labeling in a very different light.
It absolutely plays on fears.
When customers see those made with GMO labels, Bradford says he knows exactly what they're going to think.
Why would they be putting this on the label if it weren't something that I should be concerned about?
Bradford may be a pessimist, but he may also be a realist. If Californians approve the labeling law, we will soon find out. So whatever happened to the Flavor Saver, that game-changing tomato genetically engineered to be both ripe and firm?
It didn't actually work that way.
In the end, public perception didn't kill the Flavor Saver. It was the technology that failed. The tomatoes didn't stay firm. They had to be handled like peaches.
It was costing the company $10 a pound to get them to market, and they were selling them for $1.99 a pound.
And that was a problem that no label in the world could solve. In San Francisco, I'm Amy Standen for Marketplace.